Astros at the end of five continue to lead 4-1 at home against the Nationals. Ryan Gusto, 5 innings, 3 hits, 1 earned run, 3 Ks, 1 walk. So he is pitching pretty well. We'll see if he comes back out. He's at 86 pitches already. So good start right now for Ryan Gusto. Exactly what they need out of him. And if you missed it, the big blow in this game from the Hall of Famer to be Jose Altuve.
Really happy.
He was. It's a 3-run bomb as they lead 4-1 there. We'll keep you abreast, updated, and all of those other things as this thing continues. I said it on the other side, and I see some people texting in on YouTube and Twitch. Would you be in favor of everything that it would take to get Carlos Correa and everything when you get him back and all of that? Would you be in favor of him coming back in the Astros trading for him? And some of the text line, could Carlos Correa play second, but just get him and figure it out later?
What?
Maybe you trade Pena down the line if he wants too much money for the Stros. All right, that's aggressive.
Don't put Correa's cannon at second.
Correa is very clutch, gold glove, strong arm, hit 270. I'll take it in a heartbeat. Someone else texted in, I do like this. Could you imagine the spark in the clubhouse he would bring if he arrived? Oh, so
that story would light a fire in this city, man.
Also, Champ Slice on YouTube and Twitch, as fun as it would be to see Correa back, I think I would rather pass. Dude is locked in for 3 years. I'd rather take that money and pay Fromber. To be honest, take that money and pay Fromber, Hunter, Pena, not Correa. I think to that part, Champ, that's where Clintus is saying that he believes if they were to make a deal like that, that the Twins would have to come up with some of that. Would have to do something to help.
Yeah, look, everything I've read, you're talking about the Twins picking up a big chunk of it. And so if you can get this level player at a discounted rate, and a player that, by the way, you are extremely familiar with, where, look, if at any point in time, if Joe Espada says, no, thank you, I don't want any because of this, or that, then I totally understand. But my understanding is Carlos Correa would be welcomed with open arms in a big, big way.
Absolutely.
To add a little context to what you just said, Callis and Blum both in the booth with Dana Brown 2 games ago literally said and asked him the question. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but asked him the question of, you know, the moves that could be made being a shot in the arm and motivating his team. And he said, absolutely, it would be huge. And that was without Carlos Correa even being mentioned. Now, maybe they knew behind the scenes that Carlos Correa was being discussed, but this is precisely, to me, what they were referring to, is that this is a move that not only is bringing in a really good bat and a really good defensive player, but a guy that moves the needle in the clubhouse as well. For what it's worth, there's a lot of change in Houston, and Jose Altuve is not, it can't be the only guy carrying the torch of this chemistry, this amazing clubhouse, and this standard that's set in Houston. I mean, maybe he can, maybe he can't, but it would never hurt to bring in a Carlos Correa that knows what it's all about and could help that as well.
Yeah, someone texted in, they miss his leadership as well, Ray. Tyler with a good nugget in my ear to keep an eye on. The Twins did not have him in the lineup today. That is a good sign.
Well, Miller was just on the phone in the dugout, too, up here in the game, so he may have been talking to Carlos Correa's agent.
Yeah, might be. hey, man, when you come out, though, like when you come out and make it clear, yo, I will put my no trade clause down. Like when you make that clear to the place that you want to go to, you know, some stuff is shaking. So
I'll waive a no trade clause to go back to Houston. It's the grass ain't always the grass ain't always greener. Not that Correa wasn't forced into that, but he got his opportunity to make big bucks. He made big bucks. It hadn't worked out the way that he was. Come back on home and let's see if we can't make another run for 2 or 3 years here, Los. That gets me good and stoked up, baby. You kidding me?
That would be some juice and to figure things out later. All right, Clint.
By the way, Ron, real quick, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I mean, this whole Dylan Cease to the Astros thing will probably happen, by the way. We've kind of overshadowed because of Carlos Correa.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's big, bro. That's not just, hey, he's on the radar. I mean, you got folks out there that are talking about, well, it'll probably happen. That's big as well.
Yeah. No, listen, the medical staff for the Texans, or I mean, for the Astros, as you would say, leave a lot to be desired. But the pitching staff and what they're able to do to get the best out of pitchers, that is very, very real. And yes, Dylan Cease's numbers, as we said yesterday, are not great, but very similar to Yusei Kikuchi.
Who?
Yusei Kikuchi. Once he got here, it was a complete turnaround, and hell, he got paid in the offseason for it. And it was a thought of, man, you know, do the Astros really need to bring him back? So you can see that this pitching staff, the staff has a clear track record to improve guys once they get their hands on them. So that's the other part with Dylan Cease. When you look at his numbers right now, it doesn't look like what you would want to bring in. But you put him here with these guys, they seem to get the best out of guys. I mean, good Lord, what they're doing with Ryan Gusto and Colton Gordon and some of these guys, it just kind of shows it.
Well, they either get the best out of them or they break them smooth down, one of the two. So
yeah.
Either way it goes, I'll roll the dice.
Or there's Blair Hindley. But
I don't think the Blair Pitch Project.
Is Dylan Cease a local guy? Can his grandma sit in the stands? Is he too much of a veteran for grandma to be sitting in the stands randomly? It's only if he's a local guy.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think he's local. He's got a hell of a stash, though. Hopefully we get a chance to see it. But listen, man, this was out at camp and reported, Clint, and I just want to know, did anybody else respond to this? Because it just feels like they have a lot of this on one side of the ball, but not much of this on the other side. And when you hear D'Amico talking about we want to be physical and all of this stuff, you really feel it from that defensive side of the ball. But the other side, you wonder. Today, this coming from DJ Bienemy, today the Texans defense is dominating the Texans offense. After cornerback Tremon Smith broke up a pass from Davis Mills downfield, Clint, C.J. Gardner-Johnson shouted, "We own a ass," and said, "It's belt to ass," while swinging an imaginary belt while pointing to a Texans camera.
Wow, dude.
And I'm just wondering, did anybody on the offensive side, now I know you get your ass kicked, but still, did anybody on the offensive side buck up to that? Or did they just walk around there and just accept?
Not a damn soul. I watched C.J. Gardner. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, he busted Talk up, actually didn't bust it up. Brevin Jordan caught it, and he hit him up under the chin and pushed him out of bounds and did his little belt-to-ass dance. And Jordan got up and tapped him on the helmet.
Talk crap.
And then at one point, Ron, I see a pass break up down the opposite sideline in front of all the stands, and C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Kalen Bullock are both belt-to-ass dancing on them at the same time, and they just kind of eased on. Actually, it was Dalton Schultz kind of just eased on back to the huddle. So, there's not a lot going on the offensive side of the football that puts him in a position to buck back at all, to be honest with you.
I understand that, but there are – I think as you've talked about, there's a clear separation of – I don't care what you want to call it. Some people call it dog. Some people call it aggressiveness. Some people call it just whatever. But even if you are getting your ass kicked, I just know and you know there are some offensive teams or some defensive teams in football that like enough's enough on the belt to ass stuff. Enough's enough. Like we gonna push. We gonna do something. Like something's gonna happen. We not just gonna sit here and tap people on the helmets and just even if you are kicking our asses, you ain't gonna be up here belt to ass dancing. Like
Ron, look, a week into this thing, like today is the day for me. And again, for everybody out there that likes to get real sensitive, I've seen all but one practice. Which I think it's 6 of 7 practices over 8 days, I think is where we're at right now. This is the first day. There's been a little jawing, there's been a little dancing, there's been a little smack talking. This is the first day. C.J. Gardner-Johnson 2 or 3 times was belt-to-ass dancing, like well after the play. And I got to believe that at some point, within a week, if things don't kind of change and the offense start getting the betterment of the defense, I got to believe that there's going to be a little buck back, and CJ Gardner-Johnson may cause a little bit of a stir in practice, which I would love to see, if I'm being honest.
But because, Clint, maybe I'm wrong here, but I just believe, let's say the offense is having a day. Let's say they come in Friday and they're having a day, and Nico and Christian Kirk start doing belt-to-ass dancing on it. CJ Gardner-Johnson, the rest of them boys back there, Kamari Laster ain't going to be tapping them on the helmet and high-fiving them. Like, even if they get an ass beat, they're gonna do something. I would imagine they're just not going to sit there and just accept, like, all right, man, you getting me, but you ain't going to embarrass me out here.
Who's he going to be? And that's, I mean,
I don't know.
That's the question, right, is Dalton Schultz is not one to buck back. I don't think Nico is one to necessarily buck back. I think Cade Stover may get ate up. He may get fed up with it a little bit and buck back.
Brevin
Jordan got up and tapped a helmet today, so I don't know how much of that he's got in him. This is where we get to, Ron, again, this is where we get to that friendly brother, stroke everybody, everything's positive approach. Look, defensively, you get to, within the game and within the rules, you get to be physical, dominate, and embarrass folks. Like, offensively, you got to take a little bit of the brunt from time to time, right? You got to receive a little bit. Every now and then, you're going to have to initiate the blowback.
Yeah.
Who's going to do that on this offense?
I was going to say.
Who's going to do it?
I'm just saying, let Darren Woodson just keep going belt to asses over there, and let's see how long Emmett just keeps rolling over there.
Let's see
how long Larry Allen sits over there and just, rest in peace, just sits in there and, all right, man, I want to just have the asses and high five you, or here Andre Johnson, just he would at some point have lost it.
Andre, right? Johnson, Wade Smith. I mean, you, all these cats at some point are going to be like, "Hey man, enough's enough." That's a good point, man. You make a great point in a sense of just big picture looking at this training camp and given the dynamic. I'm not saying that one group is behind schedule and is better than the. Forget all that. Like, just the dynamic that is the Houston Texans practice, Ron. At some point, somebody on the offensive side of the football has to get so frustrated they throw a punch.